This is Chapter 12 of The Return of Princess Nightmare Moon by Aegis Shield, titled Nightmare Night, Part 2 of 2. Now, one might think at first glance that Nightmare Night was just a massive orgy of indulgence, eating, dancing, and wild horseplay. But no, there were sacred duties that Princess Nightmare Moon was honor-bound to see to while she was there in Ponyville. The ancient covenant was that she would eat the evil ponies left out for her, and the town would, in return, would throw a festival to celebrate her. There were other things that needed doing, though. Nightmare Moon sat in a big circle of foals, the ones brave enough to approach her. She blessed no less than 37 of them. Alicorn magic was powerful, after all, and she could make good fortune follow a pony around for a few days if she so desired. It was a little straining on her, still recovering from her return from the moon, but she could push a little for the sake of the little ones. She made sure Nurse Band-Aid wasn't looking when she wiped away the sweat from her brow. 37 blessings was a lot, after all. The Black Alicorn also saw to more personal matters. A married couple or two came to her for fertility blessings. You know, the couples that had trouble having foals of their own. Nightmare Moon, being a goddess not only of the night, but of fertility, blessed the couples as well. It was not uncommon in the old era, and the tradition could still be upheld today. For the next week or so, conceiving would hopefully go much better for those lucky couples. Toasts were made to Canterlot, the Crown, and Country. Nightmare Moon sang along with them with songs older than the holiday itself. Nightmare Night was a time of unity for Ponyville and all those visiting. Then it was time to feast. Ponies tried to make sure the Dark Princess got a lot of everything to stuff herself, but her hoof servant stepped in for that part. "Allow me, Princess, we don't want you to get sick," Band-Aid said, smiling. Too much food in your body might reject it, remember. He thinned out some of her portions. When she made to protest, he made up for it with greater variety. When she could not have that massive slice of pumpkin pie, she instead got a thinner slice and some corn next to it. This seemed to placate her. When finally a proper royal plate was filled, she sat to eat with every pony else. Big Macintosh, the Pumpkin King, sat to her right, as was tradition. Twilight Sparkle, the sun's favored foal and ambassador from Canterlot, sat to her left. Nurse Band-Aid felt a little left out, and just a wee bit jealous of the strange red stallion sitting next to his princess. Didn't he deserve a place at her right hoof, too? Sensing his apprehension, Nightmare looked up and over at her hoof servant. "Come, make room," she bade a few ponies. They scooted down the long benches, and Band-Aid ended up next to Twilight Sparkle. He felt better getting a seat close to Her Majesty. His own plate was filled and set in front of him, and he was able to eat in peace as well. Twilight was the fastest to clean her plate. She hadn't realized how hungry she was. The stress of the hard flight from Canterlot and the craziness of the festival had held her awake with adrenaline. Now, she was feeling the hunger pangs. She rose to get more, smiling and bowing to the princess as she did so. There was a certain friendly caution between them. They'd not spent a lot of time together since Nightmare had gobbled up Prince Blueblood and then vomited him up in the middle of her apartment, which had to be scrubbed for days by the palace staff. Word had reached her that peace had been brokered between the prince and the princess, so she'd been careful to be friendly and polite when she could. It wasn't nice to hold grudges. When Twilight got up to refill her plate, Band-Aid sidled over on the bench to see how his princess was doing up close. "Are you feeling okay, princess?" he asked around his corn cob. Her great head swung about to meet his gaze. "Aches, pains, if you need to rest a moment, we could find someplace quiet. I'm sure Ponyville won't mind if you needed a breather." He was eyeing her wings, still forming feathers, and the slight lines of her ribs still visible. Poor Stallion, ever the worrier, even at joyous festivals. Nightmare Moon was very much reminded of a mother hen. Reaching out, she scrubbed his mane a bit. Thou art always thinking of me, Band-Aid. Bless thee. She leaned and kissed the end of his muzzle, which made him turn scarlet. A bright tingle of alicorn magic washed over him, and he felt a hazy heaviness travel through his chest. He felt like... oh, it was that nice, heavy warmth that one got when waking up late on a Saturday. You know, the sort when your covers have been kicked off and there's already light streaming in the window to keep you warm. That hot achiness, it was nice. Band-Aid gave a bashful smile as the blessing sank into his being, shivering. Stallion, didst thou go and collect my offerings? Nightmare Moon turned to the big red stallion on her right. Nope, he slurred a bit, perking his ears. Well then, away with thee, she said, gesturing grandly. There was some laughter when the poor stallion banged his knees on the underside of the table in his haste. The princess winced, but before he rushed away, she stopped him. There is no hurry, dear escort. Take thy time. She reached and pressed a corncob into his mouth like a bar. Hot butter dribbled on his chin and the stallion pawed at the ground a little embarrassedly. He smiled with his ears and He smiled with his ears and ears before cantering off. Big Mac would need to visit all the stalls and centers of the festival for candies to fill his saddlebags, and then Nightmare Moon would take those home at the end of the night. It was the Pumpkin King's duty to do such. Better? The princess smiled at Band-Aid when the barrel-chested Big Mac had gone. He said, food lifted halfway to his mouth. Think not I did not see thee eyeing yon virility, she gestured a bit. Jealousy upon thy brow does not befit, hoof servant. She snickered scandalously, fangs exposed in a saucy grin. What? Band-Aid's cheeks went a deep red. Jealousy? Nightmare leaned and whispered into his ear. Thou art no good with mares, thou claims. But also, thou hast grown used to stroking mine legs and wings in the night, methinks. Her eyes lidded into a lewd expression. Twilight Sparkle arrived back at the table just in time to see the princess's private nurse go blood red, from the base of his neck to the tip of his ears. Are you okay? She asked, setting her plate down and leaning at him with concern. Mr. Band-Aid? She asked again after a moment. Nightmare Moon straightened, a knowing smile on her face. Without warning, the medical pony bolted from the table, yammering something about taking a breather. Is he okay? The purple mare asked the black one instead. My hoof servant's insecurities with the fairer sex are brought to bear, Nightmare said kindly, smiling as she watched the poor stallion gallop away to hide himself. But he is so innocent. She shook her head with an airy sigh. It is our nature to seduce what ponies we enjoy, but his kindness need not our syrupy touch. She shook her head a bit and smiled down at Twilight. Did you just say you don't plan to seduce him? Twilight frowned up at her, after having worked through the clunky old dialect. That's kind of pompous, isn't it? Nightmare Moon frowned at the sudden bolt of insult. Hath Celestia waxed that silver tongue? Or a few too many adventure novels? She shot back. I am a goddess of such things, Twilight Sparkle. Think thee I do not enjoy? The sentence ended with a tone like a question. Twilight frowned, ready for more verbal fencing. But the princess wasn't looking at her anymore. In fact, there was a light pinkness in her black cheeks. Oh my, she said in a throaty whisper, eyes shining in adoration. Twilight rolled her eyes. It was nothing but food, sex, and nighttime with this mare. Was she that narrow-minded? Turning with a bored expression to see what stallion the princess was eyeing this time, she gave a mild start. There in the crowd was a pony that was not dressed as some horrible monster or creature of the night. The purple mare leaned, studying her closely. She was a butter-yellow Pegasus with a pink mane, trotting about the different stalls of the Nightmare Night Festival. She was wearing some sort of green, leafy outfit that had dark pink floral designs on it. A little circlet on her head and a staff strapped to her back said something along the lines of Druid. Her face was innocent and her expression kind, until anything remotely scary came near her. In which case, she would freeze up or squeak or hide behind the nearest obstacle. Every little thing seemed to startle the poor mare. She dashed this way and that, trying to make conversation with one pony or another, trying to be brave, but failing horribly. "Who is yon pure innocence?" said Nightmare Moon in a little whisper of fascination. Twilight blinked a little. She didn't know who that was, but she certainly stood out amongst all the scary costumes and partying ponies. "She is lovely!" "Don't tell me you like mares, too," said Twilight sourly. "Hush, revelry wallflower!" Nightmare honked most of Twilight's face with a giant hoof, not taking her eyes off of the shy-looking mare. The purple mare struggled out of the grip to be able to breathe again, but by then the alicorn had risen from the table and started towards the yellow Pegasus. "Ugh, she's impossible!" Twilight flopped down over the table, laying her head in her arms with a moan. "Surely not all royalty is that way, darling." A white mare with a purple mane had appeared next to Twilight at the table. The purple unicorn sat up, startled. "You're Twilight Sparkle, yes? The sun's favored foal?" "Yes, I am." Addressed by her full title, Twilight had little choice but to do a little bow. She hated that title so much. Why couldn't she be the sun's favored mare or the sun's favored pony? Maybe it didn't roll off the tongue as well. "And you are?" She let it hang. "My name is Rarity." She returned the gesture, a bit deeper of a bow because of Twilight's elevated status. "I'm a local dressmaker, but I've done quite a bit of work in Canterlot as well. Perhaps you've heard of me?" She gave her perfect mane a little toss. No, sorry. Twilight smiled a little. The white unicorn deflated a little. "Well, I've had quite a few designs on the backs of a few noble here and there," she said conversationally. "What do you do around the palace, She sidled up, rather cozy-like, next to Twilight Sparkle. Twilight winced inwardly. A skirt chaser, bright and bold, to speak with some pony near royalty. She could smell the social ladder climbing desire on the mare next to her. A little of this, a little of that," she said, smiling her best fake smile as her brow knotted a bit. Why was she suddenly reminded of Prince Blueblood? Well, a past version of him, anyway. The current version was at least a decent pony, it seemed. Twilight coughed once, trying to clear her thoughts. "I do whatever Princess Celestia asked me to do, and I study in the Canterlot Royal Library." "Really, darling?" Rarity leaned on an elbow, her eyes full of starry glitters at the very thought of the palace. She seemed positively fascinated with Twilight's lifestyle. "That must be amazing," she gushed. Twilight gagged on the inside. "So is being the sun's favored foal like being her assistant? What kind of things do you do?" She was fiddling with the end of Twilight's saddlebag. Twilight suddenly wished she was back with Princess Nightmare Moon. She quickly peered out over the crowd. The princess wasn't hard to spot, having made her way across the crowd to meet the butter-yellow Pegasus. Currently, she looked to be flirting, for she was holding out a caramel apple to her and smiling grandly. Of course, the massive fangs did not help soothe the shy-looking pony in the slightest. Even from the great distance, Twilight could see her shaking. Well, right now I'm here with Princess Nightmare Moon. Princess Celestia wanted me to make sure she didn't eat any pony. A flick of purple magic snapped the clasp of her saddlebag closed, startling the other mare with a nip of pain. But if the princess needs me to reside over the noonday court sometimes, I can do that too. For short amounts of time, of course. This only made the stars in the other mare's eyes get bigger and shinier. Wow! Rarity gushed again. You must be quite the important noble lady. She wanted to be best friends out of rank, Twilight could sense. I'm not noble born, so no. Twilight cut that at the bud. Rarity deflated. You're not? She said. Nope. Twilight shrugged, taking a bite of pudding to fill the now awkward gap. But my, how you've moved up in the world, Rarity said with a smile. You're an inspiration to mares like me. She slathered on the praise, trying to regain the lost ground. Why, I bet all the noble stallions just nip at your heels everywhere you go. Just one. Twilight actually laughed a little. Rarity tilted her head, and the conversation began anew there. She told Rarity all about Prince Blueblood and his efforts to woo her, about how they'd been growing more upright and sophisticated lately, and how she'd promised to dance with him at the upcoming Grand Galloping Gala. Why, he sounds like a real gentle colt, Rarity said, swooning at the thought of the real-like prince. Twilight gave her a look. Well, not at first, but if he's trying his hardest, surely that warrants a little attention. Oh, dang it, that was Rarity. Well, not at first, but if he's trying his hardest, surely that warrants a little attention. He's better than he used to be, Twilight admitted quietly, staring down at her plate. I think it might be because the princess ate him. Ate him? Rarity gaped. She threw him back up, don't worry. Twilight smirked at the other mare's expression. I thought all that eating ponies thing was just nonsense and folklore, she said, looking terrified. Twilight sensed a way out of the conversation at last. Oh no, she's a carnivore. And a cannibal. She smiled just a little at the white unicorn, as the white unicorn went just a little bit whiter in the face. The Nightmare Knight stories are literal. Oh my, Rarity said. She suddenly looked nervous. It probably wasn't a good idea to get too close to the mare that was with Nightmare Moon anytime soon. If she made Twilight Sparkle angry, she might tell the Princess of the Night and then... Oh dear, that would be the worst possible thing! Excuse me, I need to go, freshen up. She moved away, between a few stalls. Twilight sighed in relief. It wasn't that she didn't like the other ponies, it was just some of the starstruck ones that really got under her skin. That Rarity character had been an odd one, that was for sure. Royal skirt chasers were in Ponyville, too, it seemed. How had she known who she was? Thank you for your report. Celestia flipped the little leather-bound book closed, stuffing it amongst the other things she needed to read and make decisions on that evening. The stallion in front of her desk bowed and slipped out the door. The white alicorn sighed a little, stroking her chin for a moment. Things were developing in such an interesting way lately, she could only ponder what it would all mean for Equestria in the long run. She was known as the long-game player amongst world leaders. Not that she minded the title. It was an alicorn's nature to live for eons without aging. Leaning for a moment to favor her teacup, she paused over a series of little charts. Appaloosia needed a bit more rain this year. They just made peace with the buffalo herds after moving their orchards, about 2 miles south of their original location. The marriage of the town sheriff and the chieftain's daughter had cemented that nicely. Cloudsdale would have some long runs to make. There was a knock at her office door, which startled Celestia a little. The princess straightened regally. There were not many ponies that her guards would allow to disturb her. "Enter," she said kindly. The door swung open to reveal Prince Blueblood, who came in looking rather sheepish.
"Oh, hello, Blueblood. Close the door. Sit for a bit,"
she invited, happy to have a brief escape from the endless drudgery of paperwork. He bowed, as was expected, then obeyed.
"I hope I'm not disturbing you from something too important, Auntie Celestia,"
the white stallion said in an unsure way. Celestia stopped a moment. He only put Auntie in front of her name when he was about to confess something, or if something was wrong, or if he wanted something from her.
"Did you need something, nephew?"
she said carefully to the fidgeting stallion. He was looking everywhere but her, including the floor, her shelves, and the window. Celestia patiently waited for him to work up the courage to speak.
I'm doing this a bit backward, Auntie," he said in a quiet way. "I do hope you'll forgive me. It's about Twilight Sparkle."
He fiddled with the carpet a little, shuffling at it with a hoof.
"Twilight? Has something happened?"
Celestia said, more alert now.
"Is something wrong?"
She leaned forward just a little. If something had happened to Twilight, quite a bit would have been thrown by the wayside. She was too important, too precious, and now the little princeling had her full attention. Not just her musings. If anything happened to Twilight, anything at all, Celestia's plans would be laid to waste.
"Well, you see, I asked Twilight Sparkle to the Grand Galloping Gala,"
Blueblood said sheepishly, meeting her eyes for just a moment before returning them to the carpet.
"But I should not have, not in the way that I did."
Celestia tensed just a hair. Twilight had sometimes complained about Blueblood's advances in the past. How shallow, eager, and rather blatant they'd been. She'd always allowed Twilight to handle him, though. She was strong enough to halt any eager stallion she didn't like, but then, perhaps 2 months ago, she'd stopped such complaints. When she'd mentioned him, in passing, it had been in a mildly calmer, sometimes positive tone. The White Alicorn knew anything and everything about Blueblood's activities, but this sudden meeting had caught her off guard.
"What do you mean? Did something go wrong?"
Well,
he pushed his golden locks out of his face a bit, trying to find good words to put to his thoughts.
You got Twilight Sparkle from an orphanage, yes? Adopted her?"
he asked. Celestia nodded slowly. Twilight was called the sun's favored foal because the princess had plucked her from an academy entrance exam and brought her to the palace to live. It was only later that she'd found out the grown-ups with the little one were her caretakers, not her parents. Seeing the extraordinary raw talent, the Alicorn had snatched her up as her own. Almost like a daughter, very, very close. The talent, the smarts, the raw power, and the unending love that radiated from the purple mare was amazing. Mentoring her into marehood had been a joy, and they'd become very close because of it.
"Yes, I took care of her and she stays at the palace as my protege. Every pony knows this,"
Celestia said as neutrally as she could.
Where was Blueblood going with this?
The thing is...
It was frustrating, but at the same time a little bit cute to see the regal prince struggle so hard with his words.
"I've been reading these books, you see, and they say that a stallion should ask his interest parents for permission to see her, you know?"
He put it as simply, if as awkwardly as he could.
And Twilight Sparkle doesn't have any parents. She has you.
The white alicorn blinked a few times.
Yes? Said Celestia, equally as carefully.
I would like to ask your permission. Oh dear, this is so backward.
Blueblood fretted. He'd already asked Twilight, and she'd already accepted.
I would like your permission to take Twilight to the Grand Galloping Gala.
He finally got it out, throwing his chest out just a bit, like he'd just crested a mountain. There was a long silence. Celestia stared at him, rather taken aback. Her permission? He wanted her permission?
If you don't want me to, I won't, he quickly said. I know I've not been the best of your descendants, he mumbled through the last bit. But I'm trying, I am.
He came to the desk and set his chin rather pathetically on its cool wooden surface, ears wilted.
But I would give anything for just one dance with Twilight Sparkle,
he whispered reverently. Celestia was touched. More than touched, she was pleased. After a whole lifetime of being a spoiled brat, of turning his nose up at common decency and embracing bloodlines over friendship, and Twilight's comments rang in her head as well, he was improving, and he wanted her permission. Her permission! Faust, that was adorable! A smile worked its way across the goddess's muzzle while her nephew looked up at her pleadingly. She stood and went around her massive desk to hug him with both arms and wings.
Of course you may, my little pony. You have my permission.
She chuckled her tinkling, bell-like chuckle. She felt all the stress and tension drain out of the stallion.
Oh, thank you! Thank you!
Prince Blueblood embraced her back.
Thank you so much, Auntie!
He squeezed her large frame with all his might, and she returned his affection. He jittered a little when she kissed the top of his head, but he was ready to be off.
I must go! I have to get ready!
The gala is a month away, though. Celestia cocked her head.
I know! I'm still learning to dance!
The white stallion was out the door even as he spoke. The guards cocked their eyebrows as a grown stallion went by, skipping like a filly. His joyful laughter faded with distance, and one guard automatically reached sideways to close Her Majesty's door. Celestia smirked a little, shaking her head. If Twilight had already said yes, it wasn't as though she was going to stop her from attending the gala with Blueblood. With him bettering himself, perhaps there was something to be gained for both of them. After all, Twilight tended to stand within 10 feet of Celestia and never stray during the gala every year. It was a little sad, really. She'd often prayed for Twilight to find a crush or some pony to get rosy-cheeked over. The white alicorn was not one to arrange or meddle in such things, so it had been up to Twilight to settle her own love life. But the poor thing had just never shown interest, and while she doubted Blueblood was the sort she might end up with, it was encouraging that she was at least entertaining the idea of bringing a date this year. The princess of the day shook her head a little, seating herself at her desk to return to her work. But rather than reaching for the latest rain chart, she pulled out a little leather book again and flipped it open. She didn't feel like working, after all that excitement. It really was an interesting read, and she wasn't entirely sure she could predict the ending of it. Royalty like her had to entertain some fancies, after all, and she did like surprise endings. She would need to thank the stallion that had delivered it to her, mere minutes before Prince Blueblood had arrived. The title of the book, you may ask? Project TOMBS. Tombs.